irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. I have a great show for you tonight. I'm really excited. I have on the show tonight an amazing artist, songwriter, and also a great guitar player, Stephen Bishop. I've listened to his stuff for years and years and years, and I have to admit, one of my favorite things that he did was Animal House. He played the folk singer that Belushi comes down the stairs and smashes the guitar, and I heard that he has the guitar. It's sitting up in it's at his house, but I just want to welcome you to the show. It's really an honor to have you here.
Oh, great. Well, that's nice to say. Thank you.
Hold on. Make sure
well,
I get
I don't know
there
if I'm on. Am I on?
You're on now.
It's good to be on.
Before I play the first clip, I want to talk a little bit about your background, where you your musical influences, where you came from in terms of, you know, where, you know, you were from back east, right?
No.
You're a native.
I'm
California?
A California boy.
All right. Okay.
No, I grew up in San Diego.
Okay.
And, you know, it was the time I was like 13, and, you know, I begged. I didn't actually beg my brother. I think he just, you know, went out and got this electric guitar, and he hooked up his stereo to make an amp,
mm-hmm.
and so I had an electric guitar. You know, mm-hmm. of course I couldn't play it, but so I have my capo on here. So, but the first song I ever wrote, uncapoed, was just I know that she loves me. 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 So that was like the first song ever. And this weird surf song that was like, you know, this terrible thing called surf turf.
That's great.
Yeah.
So who were your big influences? What did you, I mean, obviously.
Well, in all honesty, you know, I mean, I first heard, my first musical thing was, you know, the Limelighters, Kingston Trio. I was really young. I was like around 10, you know. You know, and I back then, you know, they would make jokes and tell little stories, and I still do that on stage. I still feel that when you play on stage, you should give some of your personality. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus, there's like so little personality sometimes with some of these artists, you know, and it's like you have to talk a little bit and say stuff that's funny and you know, that kind of thing.
Well, people, yeah, I know the Limelighters and the Kingston Trio, they really did, the in terms of the pre-Beatles era, the folk movement was a very strong movement. There was a lot of stuff that influenced later a lot of the popular artists.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff, like Hootenanny Show and all that, way back when. I mean, this is, I'm really dating myself, but I mean, it was, you know, but left me ready and open for the British invasion, which to this day, I feel sorry for people growing up in this climate today of music. I mean, I know they don't know any different, so they're happy, you know, but in the 60s, you had like such a plethora of gorgeous music from Motown. Motown was just hitting it out mm-hmm. of the park. I mean, so many great artists, so many great songs. And then, you know, British Invasion, Beatles, Stones, you know, Hollies, Zombies. I mean, it's amazing how many great songs came from that. I mean, really, to this day. It's funny because my stepson is like 16. Sometimes I drive him, you know, places and stuff, and he'll say, "Can I play my music?" So he'll play his music, which is, you know, interesting, but, you know, it's not my, it's mostly rap. And, you know, and I asked him just the other day, I said, "Are you going to be playing this stuff?" When, you know, I, just the other day, I made a compilation CD with You Really Got Me by the Kinks. That was 50 years ago.
Wow.
Are you going to be playing this stuff 50 years from now for yourself when you're my age? Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting for a response. He goes, "Yeah." I go, "Oh, okay, well,
can't argue."
Well, besides the folk influence, did you, being on the West Coast, were you influenced by the Beach Boys and Jan and Dean and all that, or was that wasn't?
Totally.
Oh, okay.
And then the Birds and, you know, Buffalo Springfield. I think I would have, you know, done anything to get the new Buffalo Springfield. I mean, I was just crazy about the Buffalo Springfield. What an amazing band. I saw them twice. I never saw the Beatles, oddly enough. I always thought the Beatles was beyond me. It was like, I always thought the Beatles were better than me or something. Or it always scared me as a kid. Like, all these crazy girls and they're screaming. Ugh! And then, but I saw the Stones twice when I was 15.
Wow. When did you, where did you see the Buffalo Springfield? On Sunset?
I saw the Buffalo Springfield in San Diego when I was a kid. I saw them at the sports arena with this amazing bill with the Turtles, and they were incredible, the Turtles. And the Turtles and the Springfield and Birds and Linda Ronstadt and the Stone Ponies.
Wow.
It was like one of those mega shows, and it was just incredible. It was just the greatest show. I was like dancing to the Buffalo Springfield then, you know, with my girlfriend. You know, it was crazy.
Well, let me go ahead and I'm going to play this up. This song, it's called Madge, and it starts out with acoustic guitar and vocal, and one of the most beautiful string arrangements. One of my favorite arrangers, Lee Holdridge.
I should tell you, the song's the only song I've ever written from a dream. It came from a dream.
Okay.
It's the only song I've ever written that came from a dream.
Okay. All right, well, let's play it. It's very easy to understand what he's saying in the
it's
lyrics.
It's about an old guy.
An old guy. So this is Madge. Let me play this for you.
It was 1927 and the world at my feet. A pretty girl on each arm. My family was so proud of me. Built a lot of buildings, tore half of them down. One by one they all crumbled just like me. But like a storm in a teacup, like a smile sent down from heaven, Madge, I loved you then and I love you. Finest restaurants had the wealthiest friends. Most of them are gone now, no one left to say I knew you when. Seeing songs since I've remembered the girl I used to know. She never saw any of my money, but she watched it come and go. Like a storm in a teacup, like a smile sent down from heaven. imagine I loved you then, and I love you now. They call this place Sunnyside, but I ain't seen the sun in a long, long time, and my hands don't seem to steady now, but they're still holding on to you. Sit here in my room, quiet as a mouse. I got my TV turned up loud. I'm not gonna hear myself retreat. If only I'd have kept her, I'd have stayed on my feet. Like a storm in a teacup, like a smile seen I loved you then, and I love you now. Imagine I loved you then, and I love you
now. It's a beautiful arrangement. lovely stuff. That's just great. Now,
it's weird that I wrote that when I was 26. I mean, I wrote so many songs when I was 26. I was on a writing spree. I tell you, I lived in this area in Silver Lake, and I wrote On and On. I wrote Looking for the Right One. I wrote all these songs that came out of me back then. And I was just, really rolling.
Really prolific.
Now I watch television.
But the... Did you study guitar? Because I noticed that was kind of like a classical type of thing where there was a counterpoint to that little...
Didn't you recognize the song?
Yeah, no, I recognized the song, but I mean you... The melody, but you were doing like a little counterpoint.
Well, you should say what the song is so that people know. Some people never recognize
it. I'll let you say it.
It's London Bridge.
London Bridge, but weird chords. Yeah. Really weird chords.
London Bridge with a twist.
Yeah, with this...
Because in that middle section, when you're playing that, the bass line is, it's a really counterpunnel. That's an incredible ear to be able to do that.
No, I don't know. I was so happening back then. What happened?
But let's back on that song. What guitar did you use? Do you remember what you were using back then?
Oh wow, that's a good question. Probably my old Martin. Which was a 1970 Martin D28.
I
think it was a D28. I still have it. Now I made it into a baritone guitar.
Oh, wow.
Which is really different. I wrote a couple of songs in baritone guitar. But that's kind of a drag because, you can't really play it on stage. And baritone guitars don't always stay in tune so easily.
No, they're becoming more popular. I'm seeing a lot more people using them a lot, both electric and acoustic.
Steve Pfister has
an electric baritone, and Kimo West uses one a lot, too.
An electric baritone?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an That's interesting cool.
But he doesn't use it for the whole song. It's on a stand, and then he's wearing the regular one, and they switch back and forth.
Yeah.
I guess we should explain the baritone concept, which is a whole octave down, right? Is it a whole octave down?
Most of the guys I know use it as a fourth down. It's not fully a
full
octave.
Mine's the whole octave down.
Wow.
and it just...
How do you sing to that?
I know
well,
that.
I wrote a couple of songs with it.
Well, the Beatles used the Fender Bass 6, which was basically a guitar octave below.
Oh, really? Did they?
That was what they would use sometimes as a bass when McCartney wasn't playing bass. But it was a similar thing. But I have to mention, because he has a Taylor, this beautiful Taylor guitar here. Taylor,
I love this
Taylor
guitar.
Makes a baritone.
Baritone, they do?
They're making them now.
Oh, that's cool. I have to say, I love this. This guitar is the best guitar. I love this. I don't even know what it is, really. What is this? Let's see, it's a D something. Yeah, I don't know.
It's not on the little sticker in the sound
label.
Hole?
On the side?
Straight
no,
down.
In the sound hole. Look in the sound hole.
Sound hole? Oh. Let's see.
Because that's rosewood. It looks like a... 800?
814-CE?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what a guitar
C
it is.
C is for it's cutaway and E is for electric.
Oh, it's a single cutaway. It works so great on stage and it's...
How long have you had that?
Gosh, you know, I was fortunate enough that Taylor gave me two guitars to... oh, God. How did that get out of tune all of a sudden? Oh, no. Yeah, they gave me this one and a big double cutaway, or not double cutaway, but
a Grand Auditorium. Yeah, the big
huge
one, the huge one.
I have to play guitars with small necks because I can't handle those big neck, you know, like Spanish guitars and stuff. It just kills my thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no! Oh, how did that happen?
London Bridge.
Yeah. Do you want, I think you want me to play that song pretty soon, right?
Well, since you're tuning, you might as well go ahead and do it as soon as you're in tune.
Well, keep talking.
It's interesting because the Taylor, but you've had the Taylors, what, since the 80s or before?
Oh, I don't know about that. Let's see. When did I get this Taylor? Probably about 20 years.
Okay.
This guy, Rick Fagan, used to work at Taylor, and he helped me out, and... But you need the worst thing is when you hear somebody, you know, I won't say who, but a singer-songwriter I did a show with once, big, big songwriter, huge, he was drinking right before he went out on stage, and he drank about a ton of whiskey or something, and he couldn't tune, and he was out there playing all his hits with the most out-of-tune guitar, and I was over there just cringing.
Can I tune, please?
I was cringing, because I was like, oh, no, that's really out of tune, man. What are you doing? You know, it just freaks me out.
No, that can be painful.
and you know what? The audience didn't even care. They were like, woohoo! You know, they were singing along to all his hits. Mm. Can't tell you who it is, sorry.
Uh-oh, I have an idea now.
Well, let's go ahead and let you set up this song.
Oh, okay.
And tell us what you...
Okay, hopefully it'll stay in tune. This is a song... I used to go down to Nashville all the time and have writing experiences. I always tried to get into that whole country Nashville thing, but it is tight, and they don't want any city slickers from L.A., and I got that impression. They don't like people just coming in there and thinking they're country all of a sudden, you know. And I wrote this song with this amazing writer named Tia Sillars, who was just, as we were writing in the, I think we were in my publishing company back then, we were in one of the rooms, Universal, and she was just... I'd say out of all the collaborations I've ever had, she was just coming up with stuff that was bam, bam, bam. I mean, great, great, great. And just her lyrics were just amazing. She wrote this song with this other guy named I Hope You Dance, which is one of the best songs. I don't know if you've ever heard. I hope you dance. I hope you dance. Great song. Anyway, this song is a song that we wrote, and it's just about a runaway, and it's called Pretty Baby. It's on my blue, no, not my Blueprint album. It's on my Be Here Then album, which went wood. Have you seen my pretty baby? Holding a halo, walking
down the road. Thanks for asking. Her name is Angel, and I'm the fool who let her go. If you know my little darling, could you tell her I've been on my knees, sending whispers up to heaven to turn her around and bring her home to me. Whoa, I'm no good at all without her. Oh, I don't care if the whole world knows. Oh, if you're talking about love, you're talking about her. If you see my pretty baby, tell me so. Here's a picture, my girl smiling. Don't it take your breath away? You think that's something? Ought to see her in real life. She outshines the sunshine most any day. Whoa, I'm no good at all without her. Whoa, I don't care if the whole world knows. Whoa, if you're talking about love, you're talking about her. I can't seem to stop talking about her. If you see my pretty baby, tell me so. Have you seen my pretty baby holding a halo walking down the road? Thanks for asking. Her name is Angel, and I'm the fool who let her go. I let her go.
That's great. Now,
years and years of playing guitar, and this is what you come up with.
Now, let me ask you, primarily you write on guitar, but do you write on keyboards too, or do you?
Well, definitely no.
Oh, okay.
A good friend of mine once said, don't even try to play piano, Steve. You're a guitar player. And it was like, that really set me up. I wrote one song that was a really bad for this school teacher's class on ecology. Let's clean up our water. Let's clean up our air. Let's all get together. Let's all do our share. You know, it's one of those.
Well, I'm going to play a clip. This is an interesting arrangement that you sent me. Fiddler's Green.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Can you kind of set this up a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Because you got, and then after we play it, we'll talk a little bit more what's going on inside in terms of instrument, what you're playing. And
well,
stuff.
I'm not, this is an Andrew Gold thing. So this is Andrew Gold and his writer that was in Wax, which I'm totally, oh, God, I know his name. I'm just totally blanking. He wrote, like, great songs. He wrote for Your Love, for the Yardbirds. I'm just blanking on his name.
For Your Love, Terry Keith?
No, not Terry Keith. No, he wrote great songs for The Hollies, Bus Stop. I don't know. Somebody with a Google can figure it out.
Let me Google while you're... Keep talking.
Okay.
I'll find it.
It was wrong. It was taken wrong, and now it's all this. I'm not saying the Beatles are better or greater, putting down you-know-who or whatever. I'm just saying it was wrong. It was taken wrong, and now it's all this.
Bus Stop. Okay, but so this was written
by Andrew and him, and it was a whole other song called Come On Marianne or something like that. Then I came in, I heard the music totally different. I was very inspired. I thought, oh no, I hear this as a big song, you know, and I just heard, I started, you know, as a songwriter, a lot of times I'll research. I'll go on the internet, which is great for researching, you know, as if it still stays that way. And, you know, I mean, I was, I found it, you know, all this interesting stuff. And I researched, and I was reading this book on, I'm always buying books with for titles, for ideas, for song titles, you know. Because for me, a great song title is all you really need, you know, to get you started for a song. It's like half written, practically, you know.
Graham Goldman.
Graham Goldman. Goldman, actually.
Goldman.
He's a great guy, and yeah, he's a great writer. So he's one of the writers. And then I heard this melody, and then I just, I pictured this whole thing about a ship and this guy, and he leaves this little girl, and, you know, and it's this, you know, he's a pirate, and, you know, and you'll hear it in the lyric.
Okay, let me play this, because there's a lot of really subtle guitar work in here. There's a lot
That's
of,
Andrew.
That's Andrew?
Yeah, Andrew was just amazing.
All right, let me play the clip, and we'll talk more.
All right.
Its anger, as all hopes begin to dim, I cry out for the souls of my men. It's useless to continue to fight the winds, to fight the rain. Still I hear her voice, like music from the moon. Ship the Neptune to the fiddler's green, where the sailors sleep for eternity.
Still I hear say,
wait,
stay.
Wait. Fiddler's green, and as I stare into the ocean, all I see are my daughter's eyes.
That was Fiddler's Green by Stephen Bishop on LA Talk Radio.
Now, while we were playing the clip, I just want to explain. I'm pulling clips. These are much longer and developed songs, and I'm just.
Yeah.
But in there you can hear all the little cool things that were happening guitar wise and arrangement. But you were saying that Andrew was doing the guitars.
Oh yeah, Andrew was of a freak of a talent. He was just Andrew Gold, which, you know, he's been gone now about 5 years. One of my oldest friends, you know. Kind of friend you don't always see because he's doing all sorts of crazy stuff. But he was so brilliant. And we wrote some songs together. And, I mean, he was just a great artist, you know. He's really, really a talent.
Yes, no, he's sorely missed in our music.
And he could play everything. He had these big, fat fingers. But he could play piano like nobody's business. And he was such an amazing, unpredictable guitar player. And he was so influenced from the Beatles, you know. One of my best pals, Charles Villers, is a great painter, but he grew up with Andrew, and they were in a band together called The Herd, along with Richard Holland, and, you know, it was like a cool thing. And Andrew was Roger McGuinn. He was like, he had all the Rickenbackers, and his father was Ernest Gold, who wrote Exodus.
That's right. I remember
that. And his mother was Marnie Nixon, who was the real voice behind you know,
musicals.
The King and I, yeah, and West Side Story. She, yeah, sang Natalie Wood's
part.
You know, yeah, I mean, she's, you know, talented.
Incredibly,
family.
Yeah, good genes.
Yeah, good genes. My stepdad worked at the hardware store.
Well, you're doing well with the guitars. You're picking the right woods.
And, yeah, there you and, go. And, yeah, sure.
But I'm going to play another clip that you sent me, a segment of, and it kind of shows some, again, interesting, a lot of your music, especially even on the new album, Blueprint, there's a lot of different places you go on it, and arrangement-wise and just styles. And Little Italy is interesting because I like the counterpoint of the rhythm of the guitar, the way the guitars are playing. It's very rhythmical and very...
I should set this up really quickly by saying I had this idea of this song, Little Italy, I wrote in Silver Lake one late night, and it all came just from looking at the newspaper and seeing somebody saying a story about Little Italy. And I thought, Little Italy. And I read it, and I, Little Italy, and I just loved the way that sounded. And then I started working on a riff and the whole thing, and then I had this whole idea I was going to get the guy who did an electric stick, Chapman.
Yeah, the Chapman.
And I was going to have this electric stick. It's going to be amazing. And then we brought him in, and everything was great. And we're like, all right. No, it didn't sound right for the song at all. So we refigured everything out. The producer, Henry Louis, who did all the Joni Mitchell albums. And we wound up getting Max Bennett in to play bass. And Larry Carlton played the other guitar part with me, which was a harmonizing guitar part, and then this is it.
Let me play it. Here's Little Italy.
And Chaka Khan's in there.
Can't you hear the parade? Somebody's calling my name. They're on the sidewalk, and all the people turn their heads to see. Ah, mama, am I holding on to the wings of a prayer? Waiting for Rosie, tell me, do you think she cares? Ah, dancing in the streets in Little Italy. Ah, they're all dancing in the streets in Little Italy.
Oh, you're going to miss Chaka.
Who is playing the mandolin?
That's Tommy Tedesco.
Tommy Tedesco.
Oh, wow. Son's Denny Tedesco.
Yeah, the Wrecking Crew.
I have that Wrecking Crew strap he sent me.
Yes, yes. No. No, it's just...
You missed Chaka. You didn't see your Chaka. I'm sorry. That's all right.
No. What I was trying to show is the guitar. First of all, that opening riff is really cool. What you're doing there. I mean, you're doing... in that.
That's a lot of thumb.
Yeah,
I'm keeping the thumb bass as I do the lick, which is, I could do it, but it's like, ouch. I don't do this song in concert anymore because it kills my thumbs. It's all thumb.
Really?
Yeah, this. Oh, dear. Oh, wow. What is wrong with my guitar today?
Capoing.
Boy, you do a guitar show and your guitar goes, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Okay, that was just one string. That's pretty messy with it. That's the lick.
Okay.
And then Larry Carlton had a complimentary lick.
He played
to
it up a higher.
Yeah.
Like a double lead.
Cool. Harmonizing thing.
No, it's a great song, but I mean, that one's on, what's the original? That was on Careless.
Yeah, Careless, my first album.
The first album, and it's really, the whole arrangement's great. And again, I'm just pulling, because of just the time factor, I'm just pulling little snippets.
Yeah.
It's a much more developed song, and as you said, Chaka.
By the album.
Yes, yeah. By the album.
By the album.
I'm here.
It went gold. So I guess it,
yeah.
That went gold, and my second album went gold. And
well, I want to play a from your new album, Blueprint.
Nice.
Which is a song that you co-wrote with Eric Clapton.
Oh.
And tell me a little bit about that.
Well, that's got a big history. I've been fortunate enough to be friends with Eric Clapton for many years. So this, that's what I'm saying. This sounds like somebody else saying they were friends.
Yeah.
You know, anyway. He's an old friend. He played on my first album, and I met him through my manager, who brought him down to the studio, and he played on the solo on Save It for Rainy Day. So I was visiting him in England in his palatial mansion, and one day I went down to the study, and he said, "Hey, Bish." And I said, "Hey." He goes, "You want to write a song?" And I said, "Oh, okay." He goes, because back then we would like, he wasn't touring a lot, and I would just go there and hang out for a couple of weeks. And I remember just watching the Olympics, and we were just sitting around, fall asleep, you know, drinking. Anyway, so he said, I have this title called Holy Mother, you know, and I said, "Oh, that sounds pretty good." And I was, to tell you the truth, I was going through a depression at the time. I wasn't real happy. I was there in England to go to Phil Collins' wedding, his second wedding. No, I shouldn't say that. it was a great wedding. Well, I'll tell you a side note, which is really funny. I'm here at the, and I'm in kind of down, and I'm depressed, feeling sorry for myself. I don't know what my thing was at the time. But I was sitting there with all these superstar people and, you know, Ahmet Erdogan-type people and all these huge mega superstars. And I was feeling sorry for myself, and I was sitting there going, you know, and people were going up to play on stage and everything after the wedding, and I was like, you know, nobody's asking me to play. You know, all of a sudden, Clapton goes, "Hey, Bish, why don't you play? Here's my guitar." Boom. Awesome. And so I go, "Oh." And so he goes, "Yeah, go on up there." So I go on upstage, on stage, and then Robert Plant gets comes on stage. And I'm like, "Huh?" And he goes, he looks at me and he goes, "Little Sister." You know, and "Little Sister" by Elvis Presley has that lick. Which I didn't know.
Oh my God.
And so I just like, "Yeah." You know, trying to, and every time you go, "Little Sister," and I go,
you know. Funny.
Anyway, so I wound up going upstairs and writing, working on Holy Mother, and then he worked on it later, and then it became, you know, he wound up doing it on his August album. And then what was amazing, a couple of years went by, and I found out from Phil Ramone, or was it Russ Tiedemann, somebody, that Pavarotti had recorded a video with Clapton for this big, huge concert thing. And there's an amazing recording of Holy Mother with Pavarotti and Clapton. And he's playing great guitar and singing great, and Pavarotti's like Pavarotti, you know. And I'm just in. So I can say on my bio, I've got a, you know, I've written songs with, you know, all sorts of people, and written songs for Pavarotti, Beyonce, and all sorts of.
Well, from Pavarotti to Beyonce.
Yeah.
I want to mention one thing too. Is also a lot of Stephen's songs have been done by other artists. A lot of artists have done it. In fact. I love your version of On and On, but I also like Kenny Rankin's.
Yeah,
that's great version of it with the orchestra. And yeah,
that's a story there, too. He was mad at me because I told him I wasn't going to put it out as a single. And the company put it out as a single, not me. And I didn't think it was going to be a hit, On and On. I liked it. I didn't think it was going to be a hit. And it was.
Yeah.
And it overshadowed his version. And he got really mad. And he was mad at me for years, and then we became great friends.
Oh, so he was recording around the same time. That was around
before
the same
time.
Oh, he did On and On before you
yes.
actually recorded?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I miss him. He was a great guy.
He was great.
Great player, too. Another good guitar player.
He used to always say to me, "So how's my new best friend?"
All right, let me go ahead and play Holy Mother. This is a great arrangement. I really like this. And then we'll talk a little more about it.
Holy Mother, hear my prayer. Somehow I know you're still there. Help me please find peace of mind. Take away this pain. I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait any longer. I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait for you.
Now, what I wanted to ask you about that was are you doing all the guitars? The finger pick, you're doing the finger picking, right?
Yeah.
It sounds
I think
like
so.
Did you do are you doing the fills? There was like a little fill.
No, I'm not doing fills.
Oh, okay.
It must be, this must be the one with Troy or.
Okay.
It probably says, doesn't it?
Is Michael Thompson on this?
Who?
Michael Thompson on this album?
No. No, he played on that album, the Blue Guitars album.
Got it.
It says it on here, Michael Thompson on the.
Oh, does it?
Surprise!
I've been many albums.
If you're listening, you know I've been trying to get you on the show, Michael Thompson. All your friends have been on the show.
He's a hell of a. He's a beyond.
He's amazing.
A beyond guitar player.
No,
that guy is out of this world.
I know.
Incredible.
No, it says on here you had, besides yourself, Troy, Randy Jacobs, Adam Hawley, and Michael Thompson are the guitar players.
For Holy Mother?
No,
for the album.
It's just in general.
Oh, it's like general, yeah.
For the general.
Well, I know the ones Adam Hawley played on, but Holy Mother, God.
Troy, text me if you played on this.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
But
I was there, though.
Now, how did you approach this new album, Blueprint? Because it's an interesting album, and there's some really cool things that are happening.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff on it. You know, I tried to make a different kind of... album. I wanted to do a lot of the songs I've always wanted to do of mine. Like, for example, some of these songs, Everyone's Gone to the Moon. I've played this in concert like forever, and I always loved it. It was a British Invasion song. Little Bird, I played with this. I wrote with this girl. She's a great songwriter. And then Ultra Love is R&B, and I have a lot of these songs were like demos that I had for years, like She's Not Mine, Before Nightfall.
The one on the plane that sounds like Steely Dan kind of thing.
I'll Sleep on the Plane.
That's so
good.
I'll
Sleep on the Plane.
I love that tune. It's like got in my head.
Yeah, that
like,
was my little tribute to Steely Dan,
totally.
Which is so sad that we lost Walter Becker.
Yeah,
oh,
really
my
sad.
God.
Tragic.
I bet Donald Fagen's just miserable about that. I think they were tight friends.
And they continued to play.
I love that Steely Dan. I was so influenced by Steely Dan's lyrics. I very rarely hear anyone, talk about Steely Dan's lyrics, but throughout their entire career, they've been phenomenal lyrically and musically.
Quirky and crazy.
And they're like...
Don't even know what they're about sometimes.
I know, you don't even know what it's about, but it's interesting, rather than the same old,
Yeah.
No, the... that's... Well, I want to play, there's a part I pulled out of the clip of This Is Someone Like You, and the reason I pulled this out is there's like this little high guitar part. I wanted to ask you about that. There's some really, again, you're the producer, and I think he did all
John Gilliton.
John Gilliton. My friend is really a talented
super
guy.
Super talented.
Incredibly talented.
And makes great pizza, too.
Oh, yeah? he's just joined Pizza Anonymous, so... This man has a problem with pizza. I mean, he puts it in Facebook. I mean, nothing but pizza.
That was so funny.
But I'm going to, again, this shows you the intricacy, the way the arrangements are put together. They're really phenomenal. And it's an interesting sound altogether. This is a clip from Someone Like You.
Someone like you with someone like you. Someone like you. Yeah, that actually was the theme of a TV movie.
Which oh, really?
A little bit of trivia. Yeah, of a movie called Stranded with Lonnie Anderson and some other guy. I don't know whatever the other guy was. Yeah, it was for that.
Well, you were saying I had the mic muted when I was playing those little high guitar parts. You wrote those, but you didn't.
I don't always write what I mean, I don't always play what I write.
But brings me up to one thing here.
In On and On, I had Andrew Gold play this. Whoops. Whoops. And Beyonce, they took that lick and put it all through their song.
Oh, sampled it? And
yeah, sampled it. And so it's all through the song Ring Off on Platinum Beyonce.
Oh, wow.
And so I've written a song with Beyonce.
There you go.
Yes.
You know, she was lying on the couch and she was laughing and we were talking. I think she had some potato chips and then I made the dip. Anyway.
But real quick, we're almost out of time. Yeah, I told you it goes by real fast.
Yeah, it does.
The what I wanted to ask you was a little bit in terms of what when you write the song and then the final product, is it pretty much what you hear in your head in terms of arrangement and stuff? Or are you
usually
pretty specific, or do you kind of let people just?
I do. I let people do.
I mean, like on the other song that you did with Lee Holdridge, Madge.
Oh.
You just let him go.
Yeah.
Or did you have specific
things? Well,
you've
got to trust your people.
No, I know, but I mean,
bring in good people. Then
yeah,
you
bring
you
in
trust,
great talent. I've always had incredible talented people on my albums. I mean, that's something you just do. I mean, it's the best. They're the great interpreters of your mm-hmm. of your music.
No, but I mean, in terms of the fact that you hear in how specific do you tell people?
I'd say it's like come see, come saw. I don't know what to say. It's just like sometimes it's all there. Sometimes you go, oh, I like that, what you're doing. That sounds good, so do that. But most of the time, I think back on my Careless album, and I had like on my song One More Night, which was covered by Miss Streisand. And I call her Miss Streisland because she's such a big star. She's like her own country. I had this little part at the end of One More Night that went do 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 do, which was in my head, and then I had the keyboard player play it, and it was sounding great.
No, I mean, everything on this, I just want to mention, everybody, check out this newest album, Blueprint. It's really, really good, and there's some great guitar work, and one of our dear friends, Troy, was on it, and it's just the arrangements and just the lyric quality. You just have a great knack for melody. It's just great melodies. Real quick, I know you don't have, I'm putting you on the spot because you don't know all the dates, but are things are happening, right, where you're going to be playing? Do you have
I've had a busy year, actually. I'll tell you one little thing that's kind of cool. I guess I'm allowed to say this now. My friend Kurt Russell. No, my friend Kurt Sobel is also a talented songwriter, and we wrote a song together called Almost Home that's the new theme for the new Benji movie that's coming out in April.
Very
and
cool.
I've seen the movie. It's not just a dog movie. It's a fantastic movie.
Aww.
This guy is a great director.
Cool.
It was directed by the son of the original director.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a great job. And the movie is just terrific. And they play our song twice in it, which amps our
Oscar nomination.
That's
stuff.
Right. You've been nominated before.
I have been nominated. Lives. I'm an Oscar nominee.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's cool.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
I want to thank Lori for putting this together and introducing us. Anything coming up that you want to mention?
Well, the next show that I'm producing is for Ken Stacey. It's a solo show. Ken is the lead singer from Ambrosia, and this is his first solo show since 2009, and it's going to be at Bogey's on the 14th of January, coming right up. And he's really excited. He's got a slamming band, incredible.
And he was one
band,
of the
Norman Matthews and
with Michael Jackson.
Mm. Yeah, he sang with Elton John and Michael Jackson, and incredible. Clearly one of my favorite singers in this town for sure.
Great
guy
too.
My honor.
Well, I'm going to take us out with "Slipping Into Love."
Oh, all right, really?
I'm going to take the last section and take it all the way out.
Oh,
there's
on,
a guitar
no
lead.
On and on.
No, I was going to play On and On.
Everybody knows what On and On sounds like.
He has a little story about the chord. I just wanted him to say that story.
I know,
about
but.
The chord.
Oh, that's all right. Come to my show.
That just means he has to come back.
Of course.
Yeah, there you go.
Back. But anyway,
look at all these
can
albums.
You set up Slipping Into Love about this? Anything particular?
Well, I did the original demo of Slipping Into Love like in 81, and I played the guitar. It was like always been my dream to be my own Jimi Hendrix, you know? Which has never quite happened. Anyway, but I did this version, and I always wanted to do it. I really like the song, and it's a fun. It's only it's about this guy and a girl who go up on the roof and have fun, and that's about it.
Well, I have it taken where the guitar lead takes us out, and then it goes.
Yeah, it's Adam Hawley.
Adam Hawley, he's on there. Okay,
he's great on it.
Everybody have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Happy holidays.
And thank you so much for being on the show. It's really a pleasure. I love this stuff. Thank you, Lori. Everybody, we'll see you next week.
Naughty girl, put on that party dress. She likes Jeff, she likes Mike, she likes Tommy best. Feels so good here in the